Greetings, and welcome to Audiostoa 21. This week's readings are taken from Book 1 of Epictetus' Discourses, and we'll be looking at two chapters this week, chapter 21, entitled Against Those Who Wish to be Admired, and chapter 22, entitled On Precognitions. The first reading is a pretty short and self-explanatory diatribe against praise, against the desire to be praised by the multitude, and so I will let it speak for itself. The second reading, however, from chapter 22 on precognitions, the term at issue here, prolepsis in the Greek, is usually translated nowadays by the idea being that in Stoic psychology, we are disposed to interpret impressions, I guess, in a certain way by nature. And there is something maybe not distorted, but at least very abstract about the way in which we do this. It is not that we are born with certain concepts, and in that scheme, it's very often a concepts either of God or of good that are under discussion. It's not so much that we have abstract, innate concepts of these things, because for the Stoics, we are born with a sort of tabula rasa, the mind is a sort of clean slate, and we then build on from there. But of course, and throughout the history of philosophy, even if you are absolutely not an Aeneist in any way, shape, or form, you still have to think that the mind has within it certain structures that allow you to filter the information that comes from the outside world and that are instrumental in concept building. The aim, again and always, of discussing these things, of course, is not some abstruse point of psychology, but is educative. The precognitions that are given to us need to be scrutinized and analyzed through rationality in order to determine if they are consistent with nature or not, and consequently accepted or rejected. The importance of this for ethical development should be clear to all listeners of the previous episodes of this podcast. And also it rightly insists on something we have seen earlier in chapter 17, I believe, on the fact that the importance of logic in accomplishing this task is by no means underemphasized by Epictetus, or only emphasized for the sake of faithfulness to the old Stoic tradition. Logic is an integral and important part of developing the necessary arsenal to be able to weed out good concepts from bad concepts in the course of their forming, which is, of course, for the Stoics, of utmost ethical importance. Against those who wish to be admired. When a man holds his proper station in life. He does not gape after things beyond it. Man, what do you wish to happen to you? I am satisfied if I desire and avoid conformably to nature, if I employ movements toward and from an object, as I am by nature formed to do, and purpose and design and ascent. Why then do you strut before us as if you had swallowed a spit? My wish has always been that those who meet me should admire me, and those who follow me should exclaim, "Oh, the great philosopher!" Who are they by whom you wish to be admired? Are they not those of whom you are used to say that they are mad? Well then, do you wish to be admired by madmen? On precognitions. Precognitions are common to all men, and precognition is not contradictory to precognition. For who of us does not assume that good is useful and eligible, and in all circumstances that we ought to follow and pursue it? And who of us does not assume that justice is beautiful and becoming? When then does the contradiction arise? It arises in the adaptation of the precognitions to the particular cases. When one says he has done well, he is a brave man, and another says, "Not so, but he has acted foolishly," then the disputes arise among men. This is the dispute among the Jews and the Syrians and the Egyptians and the Romans. Not whether holiness should be preferred to all things and in all cases should be pursued, but whether it is holy to eat pig's flesh or not holy. You will find this dispute also between Agamemnon and Achilles. For call them forth. What do you say? Agamemnon, ought not that to be done which is proper and right? Certainly. Well, what do you say, Achilles? Do you not admit that what is good ought to be done? I do most certainly. Adapt your precognitions, then, to the present matter. Here the dispute begins. Agamemnon says, "I ought not to give up Chryseis to her father." Achilles says, "You ought." It is certain that one of the two makes a wrong adaptation of the precognition of ought or duty. Further, Agamemnon says, "Then, if I ought to restore Chryseis, it is fit that I take his prize from some of you." Achilles reply, "Would you then take her whom I love?" "Yes, her whom you love." "Must I then be the only man who goes without a prize? And must I be the only man who has no prize?" Thus the dispute begins. What then is education? Education is the learning how to adapt the natural precognitions to the particular things conformably to nature, and then to distinguish that of things some are in our power, but others are not. In our power, our will, and all acts which depend on the will. things not in our power are the body, the parts of the body, possessions, parents, brothers, children, country, and generally all with whom we live in society. In what then should we place the good? To what kind of things shall we adapt it? To the things which are in our power? Is not health, then, a good thing, and soundness of limb, and life? And are not children, and parents, and country? Who will tolerate you if you deny this? Let us then transfer the notion of good to these things. Is it possible, then, when a man sustains damage and does not obtain good things, that he can be happy? It is not possible. And that he maintain towards society a proper behavior? He cannot. For I am naturally formed to look after my own interest. If it is my interest to have an estate of land, it is my interest also to take it from my neighbor. If it is my interest to have a garment, it is my interest also to steal it from the bath. This is the origin of wars, civil commotions, tyrannies, conspiracies. And how shall I be still able to maintain my duty towards Zeus? For if I sustain damage and am unlucky, he takes no care of me. And what is he to me if he allows me to be in the condition in which I am? I now begin to hate him. Why then do we build temples? Why set up statues to Zeus, as well as evil demons, such as to Fever? And how is Zeus the savior, and how the giver of rain, and the giver of fruits? And, in truth, if we place the nature of good in any such things, all this follows. What should we do then? This is the inquiry of the true philosopher who is in labor. Now, I do not see what the good is nor the bad. Am I not mad? Yes. But suppose that I place the good somewhere along the things which depend on the will. All will laugh at me. There will come some gray head wearing many gold rings on his fingers, and he will shake his head and say, "Here, my child, it is right that you should philosophize, but you ought to have some brains also. All this that you are doing is silly. You learned a syllogism from philosophers, but you know how to act better than philosophers do." Man, why then do you blame me, if I know? What shall I say to this slave? If I am silent, he will burst. I must speak in this way. Excuse me, as you would excuse lovers. I am not my own master. I am mad. This was Audio Stoa 21. Next week, our reading will be chapter 23 of book 1 of Epictetus' discourses entitled Against Epicurus. I am Julien Villeneuve, speaking from Montreal, Quebec. The public translation used for this program is that of George Long, which is freely available in the public domain. You may reach this program on the web at audiostoa.blogsite.org or send me an email directly at audiostoa@gmail.com.